Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Is it just me, or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
When it comes to hiring, don't search for a great talent, match with them. Thanks to Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find qualified candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility. Go to Indeed.com/listen and tell them you heard about them from this podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Thursday night into Friday morning. So now Friday morning for those of you who are listening, but we started last night. So then my last Thursday night into Friday morning show in studio this year. I've got one more, so I won't be here this time next week. We're starting our drive to Texas for the holidays. But the following weekend, or the following Thursday into Friday after Christmas, I will be doing kind of a wraparound long weekend, so I'm not gone all the way through the holidays. We don't have that kind of time off left in our house. Too many weddings, too many family things this year. We're kind of running on empty when it comes to days off, but this is my last one of the year in studio, so that's kind of nutty. I always love ushering in a Friday, and here we are so close to Christmas, which is why I chose a Christmas animal GIF to use on our latest Facebook post, which just assumes that you are going to choose Lions Bills as the week 15 game of the week. So we're giving you that. Although there are some other great games on the schedule, like Eagles Steelers. We previewed that. Was it last hour or the hour before? We've talked about Buccaneers Chargers. We're still going to get to the Packers and Seahawks, and we'll have a live guest from Seattle on Sunday night following that one, which takes place at Lumen Field. And yes, Lions Bills. We're going to look at it from a bunch of different angles coming up in our next segment. So about 18 minutes from now, give or take a minute here or there, because sometimes I don't stay on time. Good morning to you. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. I can't believe it's week 15, but producer Pete, it's not just about week 15. In 2024, last year on week 15, Sunday week 15, I got married. Week 15 will always be special to me. I never thought I'd get married on an NFL Sunday, but I did it because it was the best for my family and friends and for Bob and I. And so we got married on an NFL Sunday, week 15. So that means we are just days away from our 1-year anniversary. This might have been the fastest year on record. Fastest year in the history of the world.
Now,
man, it went fast.
In future years, you should go to a Week 15 game as a anniversary.
No, I did not watch one bit of football on that day. I never thought about football on that day. And I couldn't care less about people who can't believe that I did it on an NFL Sunday. Oh, my gosh.
And family first.
Family, friends, getting married. I waited for a lot of years. And so this would be our anniversary weekend. Now, our actual anniversary is Tuesday, the 17th. But since we'll be working, we can't really do anything crazy fun on Tuesday. But get this. My husband, now this is a huge test for him. He has planned not one, not two, three events this weekend. All surprises, Pete. I have no idea what they are. All he's told me is when I have to be ready and how I have to dress. That's it.
All right.
I know one is food. One is an outdoor activity, but I asked him what I should wear. He said, dress warm and wear boots. I asked him what kind of boots. He won't tell me. So I said, should I wear suede boots? No, don't wear suede boots. So it's an outdoor activity on Saturday when it's going to be cold. It's going to be the mid-30s, and that's without wind chill. But I love the cold. I'm impressed that he's willing to bundle up, Mr. Texan, and be out in the cold. And then we have some kind of activity on Saturday night that's dressy, does not involve food. Okay, so it's not a dinner, does not involve food. And yeah, three different events, surprises that he's planned. So I'm actually doing some surprises on the day of the anniversary, so I can't tell you what those are. Right. Those are in-house, in our house. But the big surprises for our what we're calling our anniversary weekend, all him.
That's something.
Isn't that?
That is something. That's very impressive.
But what if they're not good?
You don't say it.
That's true. I would never say it. And I'm sure, well, I shouldn't say I'm sure. Sometimes he listens to the show. Sometimes he doesn't on podcast. I have great faith in him because he knows me. First of all, he knows food is my love language. He knows what makes me happy. We've had a lot of fun experiences in the last year since we've been married. And I just can't believe it's almost time to celebrate a year anniversary.
It's the thought that matters with anything like that. So even if it's not the best.
Oh, it's going to be the best. I shouldn't have said that. I shouldn't even open the door for that because it's going to be the best. Week 15, special in my heart and some special matchups. Who's going to win? Bills, Lions. The poll is up at A-Law Radio and on our Facebook page. And our phone number, 855-212-4227. Saved, by the way, with the leftover bags of popcorn in the kitchen, because I'm not sure I'd still be talking this hour. I walked out of the house without snacks. I had just one of those days on Thursday where nothing seemed to go right. So I walked out of the house, didn't have snacks, at least brought the coffee, too busy to drink it, found popcorn. Score! I told Pete he now has popcorn.
That's right, Christmas bonus.
In the control room. Right, this is our Christmas bonus. A half-eaten, already opened bag of popcorn left over from a Christmas party that we did not attend. That's because we were busy watching Niners and Rams, right, Pete? Wink, 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 wink.
Yes.
I have no doubt that the Amazon Prime numbers for this game are going to be... Oh, my gosh.
I want to see from first half to second half, if they can get that number.
But the problem is, when it's a West Coast game, now obviously people who are on the West Coast or are fans of the Rams and Niners are probably still paying attention. But when the game is 3-3 at half and there are more punts than there are trips to the red zone and points combined, well, that's a problem. And so there were a lot of punts. There were very little ball movement in the first half. The rain was extraordinary. So if you're someone who's staying up on the East Coast, you get to halftime, it's what, 9:15, 9:30 Eastern time? I don't know. I bet there are a lot of people who decided I can either A, go to bed early and get some good snoozing, or I'll just watch something else because this is... So yeah, it was rough the first half. Now, there were adjustments in the second half, and what we saw are long drives, extended drives. But to be honest, if you're the Los Angeles Rams and you put together a drive that spans nearly 10 minutes, 10 minutes, and go 17 plays, 7 of which are snaps inside the red zone, and you don't score a touchdown, I kind of feel like that's a feat that needs to be noted. Oh my gosh. 17 plays, 9 minutes, 45 seconds, only 3 points. That's how this game went. There were no touchdowns, though there were some moments where you thought there might be touchdowns.
Two receivers left and right. Shotgun snap. Purdy back. Throws over the middle. Drop by Deebo Samuel.
Ruh-roh.
And he can't believe it. If Samuel catches that pass, he might be celebrating in the end zone right now. Instead, the 49ers will bring the field goal team out.
Yeah, that was a big one. The third down, and you know, with Deebo's skill set, I would have been shocked if he didn't score on the play. So, you know, I mean, everyone knows the answer to that. Deebo, too, he needs to catch that ball. And then we were just off on that post down the field to Ricky right there, two plays before the interception. That could have been a big one, too.
Real, very, very frustrating. Like, end of the day, like, just that ball. There's nothing there but the end zone. And they just got to catch that route.
So it's a little bit soft because Deebo Samuel's at his locker, but he says after the fact, there was nobody there, right? It's wide open. It's green grass. End of the day, you got to catch that ball. So real, real, real frustrating. Kyle Shanahan notes another moment with Ricky Pearsall. This is the issue with the Niners. They were still tied. This was a 6-6, 3-3, something like that. I lost track of the field goals. This was a tie game early in the fourth quarter. They had opportunities, but there's a drop pass by Deebo Samuel a few days after he references the fact that he's not getting enough touches, he's not having enough balls thrown his way. Uh-oh, be careful what you wish for. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. So that was one drive early in the second half. So it's third quarter. I think it was at that time it was 3-3. Then you get this long drive by the Rams. They have to settle for a field goal. Very next possession. Okay, well, now we're talking.
Stafford lines up under center, first down and 10, takes the snap, play action fake, blitz coming, it's picked up, Stafford going deep, got Nacua open, makes the catch, inside the 20, and down to the 16, Matthew Stafford with a deep shot, and Nacua pulls it in.
Stop me if you've heard this before, into the red zone, no touchdown. They settle for a field goal again. So Jack Cardi ended up kicking, I think, three field goals of under 30 yards in this one. That's how close they got. The Rams were 0-3 in the red zone in this game. However, that's better than the Niners, who never got in the red zone in this game. Wah, wah, wah. Yeah, Brock Purdy throws an interception on the goal line. So he was taking a chance there and being aggressive, but that one gets picked off. Deebo drops one. There were a bunch of offensive struggles from these Niners who end up falling in this game 12-6. They are scoreless in the fourth quarter. They're now 1-4 against teams in their own division. And that's rough. That's not what we're used to seeing in this most recent iteration of the Niners, where I don't want to say they've manhandled the NFC West because that's not fair, but that's been their bread and butter, is beating teams in their own division.
I thought the main thing, didn't get the run game going, which was huge. I thought that was the difference in the two offenses. They got the run game going better than we did. And we had a couple opportunities there in the pass game that, you know, I think could have led to 14 points, and didn't have a lot of them, but we had definitely had a couple, and didn't make those, and that's what it led to.
And I'm just trying to comprehend it really still. So don't really know what the whole picture looks like, but we have a lot of guys in the locker room, man, that are going to continue to fight, including myself, for this organization and for our fan base and for each other more than anything, to finish out the season in the right way and focus on one game at a time and see where we're at the end of it.
Brock Purdy weighing in after Kyle Shanahan. Yeah, just 63 rushing yards. And, of course, no Christian McCaffrey. He was up in a suite with his brace on the knee. No Jordan Mason. And while they've seen some good production from Isaac Garendo, the Rams were ready for it in this one. And then Deebo Samuel and others weren't taking advantage of their opportunities, as Kyle points out. I love how Brock says, we've got a lot of guys in this locker room who will continue to fight, just not Devondre Campbell. Did you see this story? This is a tough one. It's going to be all over the place because his teammates were actually willing to call him out publicly, which doesn't always happen. We saw the return of Dre Greenlaw. Great stuff. Remember him? He tore his Achilles coming off the sidelines in the Super Bowl. I believe it was the second half. Remember the just changed possession. Maybe it was a turnover, and the Niners defense is ready to get back to work. He starts to sprint. He gets a jump off the sideline and instantly goes down a couple steps onto the field. And at that point had torn his Achilles. So he hadn't played since then. It was terrific for him to be back. And he said the same. It was really cool. His teammates were excited. Kyle Shanahan was excited. He had 8 tackles in the first half. They end up limiting his snaps in the second half. He had some knee pain. They want to be really careful with him. So instead, they ask Devondre Campbell to go out there on the field. He didn't go.
What happened with Devondre Campbell? He didn't play, and he went into the locker room at some point?
Yeah, he didn't, said he didn't want to play today.
Yep.
Yeah.
The coaching staff?
He did when I asked him why he didn't want to go in. So.
During the game or before?
No, that was in the third quarter.
That is one person who just decided not to, you know, play for his teammates. And I don't think that doesn't, like, doesn't make our offense look at each other and be like, wow, man, you know, we're falling apart. It's more of a, or like the defense, hey, we're falling apart. It's more of a one person making a, like Mooney said, a selfish decision. And I'm with Mooney on that. And I've never been around anybody that's ever done that. And I hope I'm never around anybody that does that again.
George Kittle went on and on for near 10 minutes about how frustrating and upsetting and how, you know, Devondre Campbell is responsible for quitting on the team. It was an Antonio Brown moment going back to his days with the Bucks and walking off the field at MetLife while the game is going on. That's what Campbell did early in the fourth quarter. He just walks to the locker room. There's nobody with him. He wasn't hurt. This wasn't an athletic training situation. Now he just peace out. He split. And well, you did have Kyle Shanahan field the question of whether or not they were going to release him. He said, you know, we'll figure that out. Charvarius Ward said right away, they're going to cut him. He's going to end up getting dumped. I mean, dumped is my word. He's going to end up getting cut. And it sounds like that's what the locker room wants because of the fact that this may be a lost season in terms of playoff opportunities. It may not go the way that the Niners expected, but you do not give up. That's actually the cardinal sin. You don't quit on your teammates. And so that's something a lot of people will be talking about around the NFL on this Friday morning. But really cool for Dre Greenlaw to get it back out there on the field.
Yeah, it felt good. It felt good to just be out there with my brothers, run around, just having fun, man. It felt good.
I'm glad to see him back. It was a tough season last year for torn Achilles. With some real high-profile players and that one happening in the Super Bowl. So here he is back in December. Which would be, what, 10 months, roughly 10 months to get back on the field. As for the Rams, terrific performance for them in that they won. Obviously not an offensive display like we saw against the Bills. And actually just seeing highlights of it again on NFL Network. What was an extraordinary shootout between Buffalo and LA. And the Rams offense, they were just buzzing with Puka Nacua, with Cooper Kupp, who didn't have a catch last night, with Kyren Williams. He was over 100 yards again last night. Who else? Tutu Atwell had some big catches last week, too. They were able to spread the ball around and hit the Bills with everything they had. So what happened last night? Well, obviously the rain was... It was tough. It was a torrential downpour in the first half. And so that really changed things. But also, you're talking about a short work week and a different defense. And I think Matthew Stafford has the right idea. Hey, we can actually win and beat opponents a variety of ways.
You might have a weather game, you know, who knows? Next week might be, you know, a weather game, whatever it is. You got to find ways to win the football game. Got to be tough mentally and physically, and we are that. So got to continue to try to execute as good as we possibly can to make these games, you know, more advantageous for us. But at the same time, they all count for one at this point, and any way you can get them is we'll take them.
This group is getting better. There were some things that we can certainly clean up. I do think the conditions were a factor. And, you know, that's a team that has as much respect for me as anybody. They're so well coached. They got great personnel, and they were fighting for a lot of things tonight. And they made it a really tough, difficult game for us. And our guys came out on top.
I agree with Matthew Stafford. This point, my goodness, it's December. You've got teams that are having to play 3 games in 11 days. Good for them. They get the mini bye after a win. And here's a couple of things that you need to know about the Rams. They're actually 7-2 in their last 9 games. Remember their devastating injuries at the beginning of the season where they had all of their big time receivers. They had both Cooper Kupp and Puka Nacua on the sidelines. They had Kyren Williams out for a bit. I mean, they've had to figure it out. And yet here they are in a great rhythm. And the offense is not the only side of the ball that's seeing improvement. The defense, too, in the wake of Aaron Donald's retirement, they've had to figure out, you know, how to come together. I like the run defense last night. That was terrific. And yeah, they've got 3 wins in a row. Here's what else you need to know. If they win out, they're the NFC West champions. They've still got Cardinals and Seahawks on their schedule, but only 3 games left. If they win out, This is courtesy of Ryan Radke on Westwood One. I was listening to the postgame show on my way into work. If the Rams run the table, they end up as the NFC West champions and will host a playoff game. And while the Niners are not technically out of it, it would take a miracle, a veritable miracle for them to make the playoffs. So they're not eliminated, but right now no longer in the driver's seat. Lions and Bills. That is the game of the week. Who's going to win? At Amy After Hours. We've got a poll up also on our Facebook page. We've got some trash talking happening there. And later this hour, Bill Belichick. I'm buying it. I'm telling you, he's genuinely excited about coaching at UNC. And I believe him. You can call me naive. You can say I'm an idiot, whatever. But after hearing him, seeing him, hearing other people talk about him going there, I don't think this is a ploy to get back to the NFL. I think this is genuinely something Bill Belichick wants to do. And ask yourself, when was the last time Belichick did anything he didn't want to do? Have you ever seen him that excited? It's a whole new Bill. What are people saying now? Chapel Bill? Chapel Bill. No. It's not like he's the first Hall of Famer ever to go through Chapel Hill. That's funny. What did Tom Brady say? The Tar Heel way is about to become a thing. A lot of people believing that this is real. People around him. So maybe don't be so snarky about it. Just listen to what he has to say. He's done his preparation. He is ready to go. Some 400-page manual he's put together. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Good morning to you. Happy Friday.
Buffalo Bills.
First and goal from the 7. Allen under center. Takes the snap. Quick hitter. Thrown behind, but somehow caught. And now lateral to Allen and reaching for the pylon. Are you kidding me? It's a touchdown. Unbelievable. A catch by Amari Cooper. A lateral to Josh Allen. And he runs the remaining 5 yards for the score. Have you ever seen that one before?
Detroit Lions.
Goff up under center, offset eye behind him, deep back Montgomery. Jared turns, gives to Montgomery, right side, end zone, untouched, touchdown Detroit Lions. That is a thing of beauty, just cleared open the right side.
On the Money and After Hours, it's time to talk football with Amy Lawrence.
This is a delicious matchup. Chris Brown with the call of yet another moment for Josh Allen, which he's showing off. Do you know in back-to-back weeks, he's been your choice for Monday MVP? Because in back-to-back weeks, he set NFL records. 2 weeks ago, in the snow, the only NFL quarterback ever to rush for a touchdown, catch a touchdown, and throw for a touchdown. I mean, what? Stop it. And that moment where Josh Allen receives the lateral back from Amari Cooper, that's the one you hear on Bills radio, and extends the ball out to the pylon, he's vertical. Vertical. He's horizontal. He's actually laid out. And that's that moment captured so perfectly in a photo. Terrific. Then last week against the Rams, even in a loss, he has 6 touchdowns. 3 rushing, 3 receiving. No quarterback's ever done that. Okay, then. You can understand why he's hearing a lot of MVP talk this year.
The only good takeaway that I feel like means your team's in a position to make the playoffs and give yourselves a chance to win the Super Bowl. That's really all I care about.
He's got all these attributes, physical attributes, but then it's what he's got inside of him, man. He's the ultimate competitor, man. That's what separates him from a lot of guys, man. He's fearless, and it's why those guys, you know, they play the way they do for him, because he just won't give it up.
He just won't give it up. I like it. Dean Campbell praising Josh Allen. He's among the many who form a loud chorus this year. These two teams meeting on Sunday, 4:25 Eastern time, so 4:25 Detroit time. Who's going to win? We'll give you that this is the game of the week, though there are some other great ones on the schedule.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
Well, like Steelers and Eagles, who's gonna win? One major piece of the Lions' offense is their ability to carve out lanes for their tandem running back. So right now, the Lions, of course, have a franchise record 11-game win streak. They've already locked up a playoff spot. And you can see, too, with the run game, the commitment to the run game, Jahmyr Gibbs, his first ever 1,000-yard season. He's got 10 touchdowns. David Montgomery has a dozen, I believe. Don't quote me on that. But you're talking about a team that's fourth in the NFL in rushing yards with 150-plus per game, and they're fourth in the NFL in passing yards. So it's a perfect balance between the two. As you hear with Dan Miller on Lions Radio, that offensive line has so much to do with their success. And now they're coming off a mini bye. Amon-Ra St. Brown not holding back about how much that means.
It was great. It was awesome. I think it was much needed for a lot of us. Just to, you know, get our bodies back, get our legs back under us, get some sleep. Some of us went back home, get some, I think mentally too, to get away from the game a bit and see family, whatever it is. But now we're back ready to work, and we got a pretty long stretch, hopefully, in front of us.
Right? Good point by Amon-Ra. Reaching the NFC Championship last year, but the Lions have never been to a Super Bowl. 32.1 points per game. Now remember, they were all gas, no brakes, pedal to the metal last time out against the Packers, right? They went for it on all those fourth downs. They knew they were going to lean on the offense because the defense was really banged up. But now they've had a few extra days for the defense to get healthy. Amon-Ra talks about how that was desperately needed, that mini bye. I kind of feel the same way for the Rams right now. They get a win. Now they've got a mini bye before a critical three-game stretch ahead. What about the defense, Dan Campbell? Is it ready for Josh Allen and the Bills?
Look, our defense is looking forward to this. This is one of those matchups you really look forward to and to playing. I love the fact that I know we can cover the guys that we got, man, pretty disciplined group up front.
Really aggressive team, and I think that's why they are who they are. And it starts with a coach that came in there a few years ago with not a great team, and he's done a phenomenal job of getting those guys primed and prepped and ready to go each Sunday, Monday, and Thursday. And they're still playing with chips on their shoulder, and you can see that when they play. And got a lot of respect for their team and that coach in general.
When you're talking about teams that can put points on the board, we just mentioned top scoring offense is the Lions, but the Bills are number two, over 30 points per game. And think about their performance last week against the Rams, though obviously they lost that one. So their defense got carved up, and here's Sean McDermott having to figure that out.
There's a certain amount of reflection that has to go into why we got the result we got, and what are we going to do to learn from it. You got to make sure you don't overcorrect as well. So we need to make sure that we learn from it and reflect in the areas that we need to reflect on and in, and make those adjustments as we move forward. That's part of the journey of a season.
One of the things I love is to hear other coaches talk about Dan Campbell. And you just heard Josh Allen say that they still have a chip on their shoulder, but this is a guy, you're referring to Dan, who took over a program, and in the first year they went 3-13. Was that their record? They didn't win their first game until November. And so they were struggling out of the gate. Jared Goff is their quarterback, and people think that's ridiculous. He's now telling stories about how the moment where Dan Campbell called him into his office and he thought he was going to get benched, instead it's faith, and it's hey, we're going to do this. It's confidence. And now look at them. And with Ben Johnson, who stayed there in Detroit as opposed to taking another job so that he could deal with the unfinished business of the Lions attempting to win a Super Bowl, it's pretty incredible now the praise for Campbell all over the NFL.
I don't really know him, honestly, that well, like I know some of the other coaches. But, you know, from afar, certainly respect how he's doing things over there. And no two situations are the same, but the way he's gone in there and done some good things, I think holistically, there's some similarities maybe.
So I love that Dan Campbell has become the pride of the NFL. He's all the rage these days, and he's doing Applebee's commercials and all kinds of stuff. That biting kneecaps thing, it was one of those cult moments going back to his introductory press conference, but no one doubts now that that's exactly what he meant. Not literally, of course, that would be a flag in the NFL, but figuratively, that's what that's what the Lions are doing. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Now, the big question for Dan Campbell always is about the aggressiveness. Thinking back to the NFC Championship and the failed fourth down attempts, going back to the Packers as well, and in field goal range, when you have the opportunity to try to put that game away, you take this risk and go for it. What was that, on 4th-and-4, something along those lines? I mean, this is a Dan Campbell hallmark now. Not that he's the only one who's ever been aggressive, but this is the question that people want to ask him. And he was a guest on Sirius XM going back to the beginning of the week. And they did, in fact, bring up his fourth down approach and why he's so aggressive.
It's something that I believe in. And this has been going on for a while, but I mean, this league is about pressure and how you handle it, and about overcoming adversity. And, you know, it's not about things going wrong. It's about what you're going to do after things do go wrong. And I mean, we live in pressure. And so the ones that can really calm everything down and lower their heart rate and really just take it all in and, you know, be at their best in those moments, those are the players and the teams that I feel like are extremely tough to beat. And I do feel like we're one of those teams. And we've been doing this for a while. Our offense understands, man, we get in a fourth and manageable, and the time's right, we're going. But we also knew going into this past game, it was going to be a little more aggressive than even that, potentially. So, but I just think it's important, you know. And look, you can't do this. It's fine and dandy to say you're going to play a certain way, but without a quarterback like we've got and some of the playmakers we have, this offensive line, this offensive coordinator I've got, it won't work that way. So you got to have clutch dudes, too, that have proven themselves time and time again in practice, and then in games you only get better at it. So that helps significantly.
Clutch dudes. He's got some clutch dudes, that's for sure. He has built that program into his own identity, his own image. They are toughness. They are aggressiveness. They are pressure cooker comfortable. It's a new phrase. I just coined a new phrase. So the Lions have clinched a playoff spot, but they have not won the division. That's because they're still getting pushed by the Vikings, who are another one of the hottest teams in the NFL. So you've got in the NFC right now, Lions 11 straight wins, Eagles 9 straight wins. They got the Steelers this weekend. Vikings 6 straight wins, and now the Seahawks with 4 straight wins. Those are your hottest teams in football, all of them coming from the NFC. Real quick, let's talk to Matt, who's in Sacramento, about Niners and Rams. What do you think, Matt?
Well, that was a hard game to watch last night, Amy. And I agree with you. It was not a particularly compelling game. I think when we see the Amazon ratings come out in the next couple of days, it's going to be way, way low, and not just because it was a West Coast team, but both teams just played really, really poorly last night.
I would say for the NFL, it's the one sport where even if it is a West Coast matchup, people care. Fantasy football, betting, all that jazz. But the Niners have a lot of star power. The Rams just coming off a huge game against the Bills. So if it had been, I don't know, maybe 12 to 10 at halftime, or one of the teams had gotten into the red zone, I think clearly people stick around. But that it was kind of tough in the rain. And I mean, the Niners, they're dealing as best they can. But now this situation with Devondre Campbell.
Oh, it had me seething, Amy. Seething. I have to work tomorrow. I should be in bed right now. But I'm up listening to After Hours because I just can't sleep. And let me tell you why this bothers me so much. You know, sometimes the players, they got to take a mental health day. They have personal stuff going on, and that's all good and fine. But something tells me that wasn't quite what was going on here because he's suited up, he's ready to play, and then all of a sudden he's not. And it's a huge slap in the face to the guys that are out there really, really crushing it, really trying. I mean, you've got Ricky Pearsall was out there last night. He got shot in preseason, and he's trying. Tarvarius Ward lost his one-year-old daughter just a week or two ago. He's out there trying. Mm. Debo Samuel played with pneumonia, right, just a few weeks ago. He had 4 snaps in that one game and then went to the hospital. Granted, he may not have caught as many balls last night, and he's got some ego stuff going on that they'll have to address, but at least he showed up. Debatable whether he tried or not, but at least he showed up. I don't know what's going on with Campbell, but that was a winnable game for the Niners, and I can't say for sure that if he had gone and taken the field, that the score would have been different. I can't say for sure that they would have won that game, but I know what happened when he didn't show up.
Right.
They lost the game, and that was definitely winnable for them, and it probably cost them the season. As I put on Twitter a couple hours ago, I'm not superstitious. I'm maybe a little stitious on this Friday the 13th. Maybe putting McCaffrey on the cover of Madden, might have been doomed their season to fail. But certainly the situation with Campbell didn't help. And I think the way that the players have reacted,
yes,
the way that Kyle Shanahan reacted, definitely is an indication of tough conversation that happened in that locker room last night.
Yeah, you rarely hear guys from inside a locker room go after one of their own and be that bold-faced about it. He's going to get cut. It is what it is. Just the quitting thing. That's a big deal. Maybe we'll have more details, but as you point out, a lot of the other Niners fighting through personal circumstances and injuries and being sick, and they're still out there despite the fact that it's been a tough season. All right, Matt, I'm going to recommend you get some sleep. Sleep it off. You can do this.
I will. Now that I've had my say, I will. Have a good morning.
Just needed to vent. Thank you, Matt. Happy holidays to you in Sacramento. So frustrated Niners fan, but still with his team, obviously. Coming up, Bill Belichick tells you why this is not just a ploy to get back into the NFL. Here's our latest sports update. And here's Peter Schwartz.
Infinity Sports Network. Sports Flash.
This report is sponsored by Progressive Insurance. Protect your home and auto. Save when you bundle. Get a quote at progressive.com. Let's begin with Thursday Night Football. The Rams And the Niners tied at 6 in the fourth quarter.
Here's the snap, ball down. Carney's kick is on the way. It's right down the middle and good. And for the first time tonight, the Los Angeles Rams are in front. They've taken a 9-6 lead with 9:28 remaining.
Ryan Ratke on Westwood 1. Rams over the Niners 12-6. Joshua Carty with 4 field goals. College football, North Carolina formally introduced new head coach Bill Belichick. Belichick gets a 5-year deal worth $10 million a season. First 3 years guaranteed. UNLV has named former Florida and Mississippi State coach Dan Mullen as their new head coach. Colorado two-way star Travis Hunter named the Associated Press College Football Player of the Year. Baseball, Mets formally introduced Juan Soto in New York at a Citi Field press conference. He was asked why he chose the Mets.
The Mets is a great organization, and what they have done in the past couple years, showing all the ability to keep winning, to keep growing a team, to try to grow a dynasty.
Mets signed Soto to a 15-year deal worth $765 million. NBA, DeMontis Sabonis, 32 points, 20 boards. Kings over the Pelicans, 111-109. The Heat over the Raptors, 114-104. Bam Adebayo, 21 points, 16 rebounds. And the Celtics over the Pistons, 123-99. Derek White with 23 points. College basketball, number 3, Iowa State over Iowa, 89-80. NHL, Nikita Kucherov with a goal and 5 assists. Lightning over the Flames, 8-3. The Canucks top the Panthers, 4-0. Kraken, 5. Bruins, 1. Leon Draisaitl with a goal and 3 assists. The Oilers over the Wild, 7-1. Brian Rust with 3 goals and an assist. The Penguins over the Canadiens, 9-2. In overtime, Caps over the Blue Jackets, 2-1. Islanders beat the Blackhawks, 5-4. I'm Peter Schwartz.
I had a couple of sons that played college football. I would have sent my boys down there to play for them in a hurry. You know they're going to be instructed. You know that their football intellect is going to be developed, the skills relative to the positions that they play. Man, I think he's going to be great for that place and great for college football.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Mike Tomlin weighing in on Bill Belichick in Carolina Blue. Kind of funny, too, because I'm looking up at NFL Network and they're replaying Inside the NFL from CW Sports, and he's one of the featured panelists. I don't know if this was recorded before or after he took the job, but it certainly was recorded in the wake of Week 14, so before the announcement anyway, which came on Wednesday. The emergency board meeting for the trustees, that happened on Thursday at Chapel Hill, and right after that, the introduction of Bill Belichick. Now, he had brought with him, almost like show and tell, he had brought with him an old hoodie that his dad had given him, or his dad had worn. I think it was his dad's, and he had taken an old UNC sweatshirt. You could tell it was a throwback because of the lettering, and clearly his relationship with his dad, his love for his dad, is something he's talked about a ton. It's driven him into coaching himself. And we have heard the stories about his dad at Navy and how much that made an impression on him. Well, it sounds like he had kept a secret that none of us knew about.
I've always wanted to coach in football, coach in college football, and it just never really worked out. Had some good years in the NFL, so that was okay. But this is really kind of a dream come true. I grew up in college football with my dad. I was the coach of Navy for 50 years, so as a kid, all I knew was college football. And so it's great to come back home to Carolina. You know, when you're little, you don't remember everything. Obviously, I was too young to remember a lot of things from Carolina. But as I grew up, you know, you hear the same story over and over and over and over again. And so one story I always heard was, Billy's first words were, beat Duke.
And I think a lot of people misquoted this, because when I first saw it online, before I'd actually heard Bill Belichick say it, so I went back because I was sleeping, went back and watched. And people were misquoting this as him going, beat Duke, meaning that's your basketball rivalry, but not your football rivalry. Your football rivalry is NC State. And we had talked about that with Brian Murphy in Raleigh the night before. And he was telling a story about how those were his first words. I'd not ever heard Bill Belichick say that. But he calls this a dream come true. I believe him. I do. I actually believe him. I don't think this is a ploy to get back into the NFL. He answered the question. And here's the thing. For most of this introduction, Bill was smiling. He was excited. He got a standing ovation when he walked into the room. Julius Peppers was among those Carolina dignitaries who were there. The chancellor had a suit on with cut-off sleeves as a nod to Belichick, and they presented him with a gray short-sleeved hoodie as well, a new Carolina one. He doesn't have to wear the Patriots one. He was in great spirits. And then the question comes up about his future plans, and listen to how tight-lipped he is in responding.
Bill, what do you say to people that fear that if you do succeed here that you might leave for the NFL again in a year or two?
Yeah, well, I didn't come here to leave.
That's the type of answer we got from Bill Belichick for the vast majority of his time in the league. This was not that guy. He really was personable and charismatic and excited and full of anticipation most of this press conference. What's another question, Pete, that you have about how this is going to work? What's one of the common questions that we're hearing from people about him taking the job at Carolina?
Recruiting. How is he going to handle the recruiting new students? Is he going to be going into homes?
Right, exactly. How is he going to handle the recruiting process with 17 and 18-year-olds? And if you haven't heard about his 400-page guide that he's put together about coaching, he's talked about how he's going to get the best coaches available, but also a general manager in Mike Lombardi that he worked with in the Patriots front office going back 10 years ago.
We're going to build a pro personnel department, and that pro personnel department really will be the transfer portal. So that will be what we build there to monitor all the college teams, whether it's in the ACC, the Big Ten, the Southeast Conference, or in any conference, right? The new Pac-12. So you have to monitor all the players just like you would in pro football. And then obviously you'll have a director of college scouting, but that guy will be the director of high school scouting and monitor all the high schools. North Carolina has a great fan base. They have a tremendous recruiting area in the Tidewater area in Virginia. They haven't been into Florida as much in recent years, but there has been a time where they were very good in that state. So we're going to try to expand it to a national program, which it should be. I mean, when you mention North Carolina, that brand is significant.
Excited to be here. Excited to be in college football. Excited for the opportunity to build and develop young student athletes, young men, and prepare them for their life, either in the NFL or professionally. But the lessons they learn will be professional lessons. They'll be pros in all areas.
As you hear Mike Lombardi on VSiN talk about, and that's his former radio home, talk about how they're going to set up this department, the essentially the GM's office and the scouting, it sounds just like a pro team. That's how they're designing it. And Bill Belichick told us earlier in the week when he was on McAfee, by the way, Mike Tomlin, he was on McAfee. I want to make sure I credit that. He told us that the college game is more like the pro game than it's ever been. He's dealt with agents. He's dealt with contracts. He's dealt with the scouting departments, right? This is a very similar design, one that was extremely successful in New England, and he's going to bring some of those people back. And one more thing, this I've decided annoys me to no end. Do you really think Belichick can't make a phone call to any of his extensive number of contacts in college and say, hey, I'd like my son to have a job? This is not about his son having a job. There are other ways to get his son a job. Call in a favor. For heaven's sakes, he's best buds with Nick Saban. I bet that he could find his son a job. But also, his son had a job as a defensive coordinator in Washington. So a lot of the theories that are out there to me make zero sense. I'm buying in, and I think he can make an immediate impact in North Carolina. On that note, have a great weekend. Happy early holidays. We'll talk to you Sunday night. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Boom!
Money Crimes is a podcast all about the dark side of finance and sometimes murder. Find Money Crimes on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your favorite podcasts.